By the way, we are a Bible teaching ministry. We send out every day, so I write every day a discipleship Bible study. I believe 177 straight, okay? And it's fresh manna from my heart and from God's word to you every day. So in our bulletin, you can subscribe to it. And so our call is to feed the sheep. So literally every day, a Bible study goes out every day. And every day I post something over 400 days straight on Facebook that has a scripture and a sense of encouragement. Because I love you and I love what God wants to do through his word and his spirit in your life. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the celebration today, and we celebrate your word, and we celebrate what you would like to do this morning in each of our lives, that you've called us, Lord, down to the track by the grace of God and through the work of Jesus Christ, and that you would help us establish today the lane that we're supposed to be in, and to understand that there is a real given purpose by you, the God of heaven and the God of all creation, for our lives individually. And I pray that you would help encourage us. You would refresh the runners. You would renew the focus on Jesus Christ. You would renew our hearts as we run for you towards the finish line. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So when we look at just these few verses right here, and we were studying it yesterday as men, let's look through this together. In chapter 12, verse 1, what we say is, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. What does that mean? It's interesting to study that, because when you take the scripture in its full entirety, like we should, just not a scripture out of the text or out of context, but the full scriptures, we realize that in Hebrews chapter 11, we're looking at a number of people who lived a life of faith. And what we get down to right here is this. It's really simple. It's either we're living by faith or we're living in unbelief. So faith and unbelief, those are the two dynamics. And the exhortation that's coming is this. We have a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I do not believe that that is speaking about people in heaven that have pom-poms cheering us on here on earth. I believe they're before the throne of God, and the greatness and the glory of God is enough to just consume all of their love and attention. That is the reward of their faith. But what the Bible is saying is that we've had men and women that have lived out in faith their love for God and their love for others. And this heritage that we have, this great cloud, this heritage that we have, is something that we should think about. For example, for me personally, what do I think about? I think about many men that are ahead of me in their walk and in their faith. Like who? Well, for example, like Billy Graham. I love Billy Graham and the work that God has called him to do. And even though he's at the age he's at and not the opportunity to preach like he did, he's still held by God, because God knows the timing of his life. And even in his difficult health condition, he still, through his prayer and his life, he is still upholding a number of younger ministers. And brothers and sisters, they need that upholding, and they need every ounce of that encouragement. Because brothers and sisters, as time goes on, we have this great group of men and women that have lived for God, but they're going to be going home with God. And it's, did we catch the baton? Are we running our race? Are we going to uphold what these who lived and sacrificed and died in faith, are we going to move ahead in faith? I think of Pastor Chuck Smith. We were just down at the pastor's conference. What a great joy. His birthday was this last week, 85 years old. He's on the radio 4 days a week, live on the radio, and also a TV program. He's still teaching from the pulpit on Sunday. He ministered to 1,000 senior pastors at the conference. And at the conclusion of the Thursday night message, Friday morning, he would be subjecting himself to more chemotherapy treatment. And still, by the grace of God and the power of God, he's being upheld. I love studying the commentaries of Dr. J. Vernon McGee and a few others. In preparation for a Bible study, I like to study from those that are with Jesus and those that are still working for Jesus, to take in that word of God and the richness of it. So what I'm saying is that there's many believers that have and are living for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's this great group. So in my life, when I may feel a little bit discouraged, when I may figure, well, what's the worth or what's the value? And we all go through those times of wondering. I look and see, wait, I'm focusing in on me. I'm not looking anymore to Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of my faith. I'm looking at me, and I'm looking at my inadequacies, and I'm looking at things that may trouble me, and I'm not looking at the Lord. And the Lord says, wait a minute, take a look at others that have lived in and have experienced things that you've experienced. Read Paul and his great suffering, his great sorrow, and his great rejection. How did he deal with that? I am, but by the grace of God, I move on, Paul would say. So we look then again at Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1. And what we're seeing real quickly here is that we look back and we see, as we look back, this great cloud of witnesses. And we look back and we look back, and what happens when we see this? We see faith. My heart is stirred for faith. My heart is, don't give up. Don't quit. Stay with it. I love what our high school football coach, who just retired this year, so I had him as a high school coach. He's actually in the Hall of Fame as high school coaches in Southern California. Just retired this year. But one of the little nuggets he said to us as men, so you figure as a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old, he just would say to us right away, men, they don't make the football field 90 yards. It stuck with me. There's no shortcuts, men. If you want to take shortcuts, you're going to keep the whole team after practice. He says, are you worried about getting hurt? Then don't give it your all. If you don't give it your all, you'll get hurt. Now, that's not quite true, because you're giving it all. A lot of guys get hurt. But as a kid growing up, what I'm just thinking about, okay, football field, not 90 yards. Don't quit. Don't give up. Stay with it. And give it your all. Okay. Well, those are great little lessons. And as we're looking back and seeing these great examples of faith, then we need to look around. And when we look around and we see again the scriptures, there's great challenges that are before us. As a matter of fact, as we look at Hebrews chapter 12, and it says, not only are we surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, but here's the challenge. The great challenge is, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. What's the greatest challenge that you face, Pastor? What is it? You really want to know? The greatest challenge that I face is myself. That's the greatest challenge. It's me. It's me. It's my sinfulness. It's my selfishness. It's me. I find that when I'm able to bring myself to the Lord, as he says, when I'm able to deny myself, when I'm able to trust God and believe God, when I'm able to repent, when I'm able to be filled with the Holy Spirit, my perspective changes very quickly. I want to stay in the game, and so do you. And to stay in the game means, brothers and sisters, we play by the rules. We're living in a time where athletes, unfortunately, who have seemingly attained great accomplishments, only to find out they cheated. They took drugs to enhance their performance. They cheated. God's not interested in cheaters. He's interested in us playing by the rules. And as a believer, when you look at the world and you look like at your life and you look at your situation, you will say, like I may say, you know what? This isn't fair. This really isn't fair. This playing field out here is so crooked. I mean, can I just be a little bit crooked and still be a Christian? It's just not fair, you may say. And the Lord says, that's the way I've made it. Because I want to demonstrate that you stay the course. You stay focused in on me. You do not give in. You do not compromise. A gray area is not an area for you to go in. You stay in the playing field. Get away from the sidelines and get on the field. You know, when you're running down the sidelines, you need everybody around judging whether you're in or out. And many Christians, we don't know. Are you in? Are you out? Where are you? You play in the middle of the field. That isn't even a question. It's just like, wow, he's on the middle of the field. He's taking it down. And that's what we want to see Christians just marching down with the Lord's leading within our lives. So the greatest obstacle that we have, the greatest challenge as we look around, and that is as unbelief. And the only thing that's going to keep us from finishing strong is unbelief. And we could talk about various situations, and you could talk about personal sins that you struggle with in your life. But instead of taking that specific sin, just make it really easy. The issue is unbelief. What do you mean? Well, you say, well, I have a difficulty with lust or covetousness or whatever the sin may be, but the problem is unbelief. What do you mean? Because you're not believing that God wants to deliver the power of his Holy Spirit in your life to uphold you and to carry you through and to take you through. You're not believing that. He has that. He has that empowerment to see us through. He wants to do that. He wants to. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God's faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but with the temptation, he'll provide the way of escape. Amen? Amen. So we're going to look at that. Lord, your provision, I'm believing your provision. My flesh is weak, but you're strong. I'm going to believe. So there's a great cloud of witnesses, and that's faith. And as a Christian runner in the race, we can see historically, wow, men and women throughout history, before Christ came, after Christ came, living today, men and women that kept the faith and they finished strong, or they're heading towards the finish line strong. And we look at this cloud and we're saying, I want to be in. I'm in. I want to be a part of this team. I'm in. And then the greatest challenge is myself. And then to see the power of God lift us up as overcomers of the greatest temptations and sin. And then finally, the third point in verse number 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So we look back and we see the great cloud. We look around and we see the great challenge. There's unbelief. We want to come over that. And then we're going to look ahead. So it's not the great cloud. It's not the great challenge, but it's the great coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're looking forward to that. We're so close to the finish line. We're looking forward to the great coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ showed us how we're to live. When we look ahead and the focus is on Christ, when we look ahead, there's joy in our hearts and there's the endurance to run the race that is set before us. We have seen as well, and there's videos of sprint runners especially, that a race is lost by that much time. A blink of an eye, that's it. The race is lost. We've seen people, you've seen people lose a race because as they're finishing towards the line, just that little glance right there, that little head turn, just that little turn that way, caused them to lose the race. Their eyes weren't focused on what's ahead. Just that little turn. Let me make it really clear. As Christians, we don't compete against one another. Isn't that a great joy? That is foolishness. Well, then who's your competition against? I told you, me. Me. It's my race, and it's your race. Yeah, but when you're on a track and you're all across the track, if we're using that illustration, aren't we competing against one another? No, we're all in our own lanes. Get in your lane. Mark, if you get in my lane, I'm going to tell you to get out of my lane, all right? I don't want you in my lane. My lane only has room for me. I'm enough to contend with, okay? So just your lane. Every person, my wife has her own lane, the giftings, and the person that God has made her to be. And so when you're in your own lane and you're getting ready for your race, you're looking ahead to Jesus Christ. Now, we want to encourage everybody in their race that you have. We want to encourage you in that race. Say, Pastor, that's just too intense today. Well, here's the situation. Is many times we do come into a body and we're hurting. And I say, it is a great place to be around believers. Let the grace of God minister to you and restore you. And there'll be that time where you're able to move out. But let the grace of God and the word of God minister to you. Now, I say that, but what that means is you don't come every 2 or 3 weeks. You come on Sunday. You come on Wednesday. You just come for prayer. You come and say, I am in a place right now that I need God's love and God's restoration. That's the place that I'm in. And so it is here. God will pour in. God will heal your heart. God will make you strong. God will allow you to experience his purposes for you. And then when the time is right and you're in that lane, you'll be able to move forward. We're not competing against one another, nor are we looking at all of a sudden measuring, what did I accomplish and what did they accomplish? Listen, God looks at our heart and he says, what's the motive behind what you're doing? That's what God looks at. That's what he looks at. So as we look at this scriptures and we see these encouraging verses that we have before us, may I conclude with this thought. I run and you run for an audience of one. I run and you run for an audience of one. Isn't that freeing? Isn't that liberating? All right. Let's go ahead and stand. And we're going to have a closing prayer here. And then I think there's just a final little video shot of the Vacation Bible School. Is that right? The little one? Okay, so let's pray. Dear Lord, we ask your blessing. Father, you know all of our hearts. So let's just be straight up with the Lord right now, okay? Just before the Lord, all of us. God wants you to be walking with him. He wants to show you his love. He wants to lead you in the path of righteousness. If there's something that's hindering you from that fellowship with Jesus, then you say, Lord, I see right there what it is. I'm not believing you. It's really unbelief demonstrated in a variety of ways. But I ask for forgiveness. I want to believe you and trust you. Lead me, Lord. If you have yet to come to a place of salvation, clear question, if you died today, would you go to heaven? If you cannot say, yes, I'm going to heaven because of what Christ has done for me, I've accepted his gift of salvation for eternal life, it's about him. I've received his gift. I know I'm going to heaven. If that's not your answer, I pray that it would be, and it can be, by you asking Jesus for forgiveness of your sins and receiving his gift of eternal life for you. Dear Lord, we do pray for the body of Christ. We want to be men and women in the lanes, being able to rejoice and celebrate. We're looking to you and then being able to experience your leadership and your love over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.